10 years that STI's been in place, and this is the first year this has happened. So from some perspectives, that looks pretty good. From your perspective this year, I understand, I get it, it was a mess up, okay? And we should have done something about it earlier, absolutely. But this is the way the contract reads, okay? If you want, if this board wants to adopt a level, it can. I mean, that's what Robert showed. He can adopt that level, absolutely. If that's how you want the agency to manage this, then this board, with the consideration and information from staff, and I'd recommend that we get our hydrogeologist back up here to take a look at whatever it is you want to get the information you need. But ultimately, it's the board that decides, okay? And that's my point. And, you know, this document, I think, personally, has stood the test of time. It's provided each of these communities with low-cost hydropower at a wholesale basis. And that's what it was designed to do.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
And I appreciate that, Joel. I truly do. I think what makes us so nervous in our community is that as we're going along, you know, if we had heard, hey, you know, looks like we sent too much power south and we got to fix this. You know, I understand that the Petersburg mayor was told from, and I heard this from Mayor Jensen, that that there would be, you know, they would work towards some kind of true-up. And I appreciate that the CEO can't go around making decisions arbitrarily. But to engage us in a conversation early on to say, let's alleviate some of your community's fears right now, we will bring this up and we will work towards making you whole, that would be great.
I agree. I think that should have happened.
And we should have employed sort of the old alcoholic mantra, you got to sort of say up front that you have a problem in terms of we've sold too much power to the south. But as we went along on our journey on this, that was not our feelings. It's always come back to the weather. Now, I appreciate what you said. And I will go with that, yes, we've done well thus far. But this is a huge impact to a small community.
Lisa. Absolutely.
Mr. Chairman, I actually have a little bit more specific question and concern, I guess, about something you mentioned, which was if the decision is made to ask some of the member utilities to go on diesel, that should be a board decision, not an administrative decision. And I find that to be interesting. If the administration has full authority to determine what our estimates of power are, and that is what determines what our firm requirements are, your estimates. Now, I know you're going off of real numbers, and they're reasonable estimates. I'm not suggesting otherwise. But if the estimate that comes out is 60,000, and we hit 60,000, and what we needed was 62,000, but you guys, off of estimates of the, you know, rolling five-year average, said it's 60, too bad, we sold to you, so, you know, you're out of luck.
Right.
And then they have full discretion to move the water back and forth as they see fit, and then there's a problem. Why then does it become a board decision to go on diesel rather than that being part of the operational decisions that...
Because SEPA does not own or control any diesels.
I understand.
So what SEPA has done, my understanding is, in the past, is saying, you know, we're looking at the curve here, and, you know, we think if you did a diesel burn here, we'd save some water here, and we'd be better over there, right, 5 months from now. My point is that without funds, a diesel protocol fund, or actual diesels, it really just is a request of our member utilities, because we're saying, you know, if Trey had a diesel protocol fund that said, and the board approved this, right, then it'd be like, look, run your diesels, here's a check. But there's no you know, what we have, what do we have? We have water. We're going to sell you water. That's what we got.
Just follow up. So, Mr. Prusanka actually brought this up you're correct. The inference was made, or the suggestion was made, that the North End should consider going on diesel. Well, that's fine. If Wrangell decides we're going to go on diesel, as was said earlier, we can go on diesel in Petersburg and say, we don't feel like going on diesel. So Wrangell goes on diesel and we supplement Petersburg, or any one of those other configurations. So that, again, that's where I get back to policies have to be in place. If we're going to manage this, we're going to call this a system, we're going to manage it that way, we have to have protocols and policies in place to address those things. It can't be squishy.
Mr. Chair, can I?
Yes, you may.
I agree with that. Absolutely. It's unfair. If you are saying, well, we think we should go on diesel, and Petersburg's heck no, you know, you're biting off more than you should. I mean, that situation, personalities aside, I mean, that's really what a robust ops plan with the agency in place ought to manage that.
Yes.
And that's our goal ought to be to get there.
Okay.
You know, that's a really great goal.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
There's a couple of other factors to this, too. We are required to buy all power that's offered to us. So Trey's offering us power. We're required to buy it. And if I start offsetting power with diesel, then am I placing myself in conflict with the power sales agreement? The second thing is that I forgot my second thing. I apologize. It'll come back to me.
So while you're thinking about that, let's talk about the last one.
You know, technically, I think there's been instances when Ketchikan has just burned its diesel and for its own purposes, and we could have said, hey, you know, we had product, could have bought it from us. So practically speaking, I don't think there's going to be a time where the agency's going to say, you know, forget it. Now, frankly, you know, if you're burning diesel for your own purposes, that's one thing. If you're burning diesel to manage the Tai'i Reservoir, that's really an agency thing, and really, you know, ideally really ought to be run through, you know, our future operations committee and ops plan and all of that, really. And as part, you know, come December, when you're going to have another ops plan to review, we ought to reserve a spot, at least for a discussion, about diesel. What are we going to do in advance here? Where are we in terms of the rule curve? Is this something that the agency wants to take on? And like I say, in my opinion, we're not required to, okay? But that's just my opinion on what the words say in the agreement. If the board decides otherwise, the board has the authority to do it. So, you know, I don't want you to get too hung up on what the lawyer's saying is the law here, because the board has authority. And if you do, and you ask me, I will tell you what your authority is.
I just realized the other thing. You know, we were incredibly hesitant. Lisa's new to it, and this is a new thing to our community. We didn't even know, you know, we lost our power superintendent. We were operating with an intern. We were trying to get somebody down there. We didn't even know how to go about asking about a true-up. But part of our concern was is that if we made the decision to go ahead, would that be utilized as, you know, say, oh, I never said you guys have to run diesels. That was your decision. So now, you know, why would we pay for that diesel? That was your decision. We're just trying to be good ball players here with everybody else. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that as part of our mission is we exist for the long-term benefit of our member utilities and their ratepayers. And a part of that long-term benefit and the prudent management of the system, I think, is that I got to feel like there's that leadership component that when, you know, I had a conversation with Trey finally. I said, Trey, please just ask us to turn on our damn diesels and ask Petersburg to turn them on in an email, just directly stating you need these to be turned on to preserve resources. Because it's sort of, if it's left up to us and we're trying to guess, well, how many, you know, we're trying to figure out, well, if we burn for this long, how long do we get? We need a plan. We need someone to say, well, you're going to burn this much for this much for this much and do this and do that. It gives us our plan and our marching orders. And we did it. Within a couple hours, we were up and running and following along, and we're still running. But we need that leadership to, you know, if you when you come and say, well, you can, you sort of can or you can't, your choice. It doesn't work.
Yeah. Robert, then Clay.
Steve, this is kind of for everyone. I think the challenge here, I've heard and read in many papers the word oversold, and if I go back to August 15th, I don't think we would have been saying that SEPA oversold, or September 17th or November, even though the future shows that perhaps at this point we are burning diesels and that would be a good trigger to make that statement. But I'd like to just, my understanding, and this is kind of why we're here, my understanding of the power sales agreement and how I interpret that in the operations plan. And Andy made a good comment earlier about full requirements, and he stated the parties have a direct financial interest in ensuring the maximum practicable sales. And he made a really, made sure that it's important to be practical. And so I try, you know, I look at what is practical, and I think of prudent utility practice. And so under the utility prudent practice definition in the power sales agreement, it says that it means at any particular time, any of the practices, methods, and acts which in the exercise of reasonable judgment in light of the facts known at the time would have been expected to accomplish the desired result. And so that is what we try to do. And I look at it this way. I'm outside the box. I come to the organization from outside the box. I don't have roots in Petersburg, Ketchikan, or here, or in Wrangell. I come from a whole different era. Bonneville Power Administration organization that runs things completely different, where they sell megawatt by the minute, like a trading floor. And so coming up here with a different perspective, I try and wrap my mind around what the power sales agreement is, what is the operations plan, and how these utilities have come together. I've come to realize that this organization is a non-profit organization. And so when there's this term maximizing sales, it's really mitigating diesel, because I don't get a bonus at the end of the year for making as much sales as I can make. I don't get a bonus. Trey doesn't get a bonus because, hey, you made way so much money this year, you need to have, you know, a portion of what you made goes to you. So we don't do this because we want to sell as much as we possibly can to Ketchikan. We just want to mitigate the most amount of diesel we can, whether that be Ketchikan or Petersburg and Wrangell. And our intent was never, ever to have Petersburg and Wrangell burn diesel. That's why you see all those things up there over and over and over again. We even wanted to utilize the water in Swan Lake that my understanding at the time, was additional dedicated. It was only there because of Tai'i. I wanted to ship it north. So that's how we balance lakes, and that's our intent, and I just want to put that out there that's my understanding.
Clay.
I guess an observation in regard to diesel support and so forth on the north end. That's been a topic of discussion ever since I made superintendent a while back. And back in our Thomas Bay days, I know Robert and I, we had discussed it at one point, and how to allocate and how to provide adequate support diesel when the output of Tai'i was not adequate to do that. And there's any one of a number of different scenarios that could present that situation, loss of a unit, huge loads, whatever. But that was always considered something that the two communities would have to come together and agree upon. because when it comes to offsetting load and managing your load, that's the duty of the communities to do that. We have oil-fired boilers that we can turn on to shed load. On Wrangell's end, Petersburg has various generators and stuff that they can fire up to address that, or the big boiler at the municipal pool and can time when that comes on or off. So managing your diesel support, that was always something that the communities needed to come together on. And I believe that I shared that with you, Lisa, that the 50-50, the big question, that sooner or later we would have to wrap our heads around that. And it's still there, and it still hasn't been resolved. So so there's that. Now we're here, now it's being tested, and it still hasn't been resolved. So, but it wasn't for lack of kicking it around years ago. Now, my second comment, I guess, that I would address this to Joel. As Robert has mentioned, we attempt to ship water back and forth between the lakes to maximize the output of those lakes. And our goal, we realize that Swan is going to run short, and we know that Tai always runs fat, right? And so our goal is to minimize Ketchikan's diesel exposure while at the same time ensuring that the north end does not have to go on diesel. And so to that end, we have shifted 32,000 megawatt hours south to help out the south end, to help out Ketchikan and KPU, right? My math on that comes out to about 80 feet of water in Swan Lake, okay? The water that is in Swan Lake right now would not be there today if we had not shifted water south from Tai. So by my crude math, by my estimate, Swan is sitting at about an 80-foot deficit right now to Tai Lake. And so my question to you, Joel, is at what point is that no longer KPU's dedicated resource? At what point
I'll be honest with you, Clay.
Swan,
that gets into cost mitigation and all of that. I mean, the only way I'm going to answer your question is this way, and it may not be that satisfying. If you look at the operations plan, you are able to manage it for the... I'll get out the language. Maximizing utilization and output, optimizing the output of the agency facilities, through the use of water management and other efficient dispatch procedures adopted by the agency. As Robert pointed out, you have to do that per prudent utility practices, okay? Now, I've given my technical opinion. My technical opinion is the same as it was in 2010. The agency technically is not responsible for what it can't deliver. I don't know if you're asking me, is that water that's in Swan, does that belong to Tai? I don't know. I mean, did you do it? Did you operate it right? It sounds like you made your best efforts to operate it. I think you're really getting at a cost issue, and I don't really want to give you an opinion on that. I'm sorry. It just feels like that's really not, that's this board's role to figure that piece out. But it may be a cop-out, but I think you have to manage your reservoirs per the ops plan. You have to make an estimate for the dedicated firm power resources for each, and anything beyond that is additional dedicated. Did you sell too much? I don't know. That's a very contentious issue here. So I don't really, I don't know if you really need me to answer more, or, I mean, I'm happy to, but.
It didn't really help.
I'm sorry. There's only so much I'm going to be able to tease out of this for you.
Yeah. Mr. Chair and Lisa, there was a need for a diesel protocol between Wrangell and Petersburg. And frankly, it's, I don't see where it's SEPA's sandbox. So this is between our two communities. And at the time that we had one almost finished, it was about the same time as the STI was built. And the idea was that maybe we didn't need one after that, because then we had this other source of power. And that whole, the idea that we needed a diesel sharing protocol was put on the back burner. You know, that could be resurrected. There's lots of versions of that around, but maybe it's time that the two communities got together and talked about formalizing that relationship.
I agree there needs to be something in place, and I am under no certain terms am I trying to absolve Wrangell and or Petersburg of managing our own diesels and managing our diesels together when we have to go on a diesel burn. What I'm trying to get at is, again, the power sales agreement requires us to buy all of the available power. And if power is still being sold out of TAI, when we have concerns about issues related to the need to conserve power so that we're not all having to go on 100% diesel at any one given time as opposed to 50%, whatever all those variations are, there needs to be a mechanism for us to work with SEPA to be able to come to an understanding of what that is without fear of, we're using the term playing chicken a lot, but that's what I felt like we were doing. If we did what we thought was best for the North End by going on diesel to help offset some of the water coming out of TAI, and we made that decision, then we are in violation of the power sales agreement, and we're paying for our diesels, and we're having to reimburse SEPA for water that they would have sold to us. Unless SEPA says, you guys need to go on diesel. So that there has to be an interaction there between SEPA and the communities about managing the resource. Yeah, we need to get our own stuff together, agreed.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, to Trey's point, I agree. We've talked about this as a community, and I don't want to just talk Petersburg, I want to talk Ketchikan too, because we're intertied. We can help each other back and forth, and so we should really look at it as a system. But to Trey's point, we did put our schools over onto diesel in November. That was a decision that they made. But remember, when we start shifting over to putting diesel burns in buildings, we're losing money, because we make our 4 cents a kilowatt hour, so it does have an impact to the community still. I think in an emergency, absolutely, we have to be able to do that, Clay, and I agree, and I think, you know, being able to shift is important, but it does hit our system still. We have a loss of revenue, so it's not a net zero to us.
So I got Jeremy, and then I think we've had enough discussion here that we should move on to trying to figure out some of the decision points.
I apologize. I know I don't have a seat at the table, and I apologize to Carl and Andy if this question is misspoken, but I've heard some of the conversation, and one of the things that was said was talking about overselling power out of TAI to the south. Now, as the system engineer here, one of the things that I have a big concern of is when we have to burn diesel in Ketchikan. So we rely on the STI as well to help us minimize that. So when I hear things like, we want to raise the draft limit on TAI, or we want to be very conservative with what we're doing with that power, my question is if we can oversell, is it possible to undersell? And if so, then it's